Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Our man Nick Leckie joins us on the phone right now. Talk a little K-State, little Chiefs, a little football in general. What's up, Nick? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Nate. How are you doing? We ready to talk some soccer today?
What's up, man? Yeah, there's no Steven here. There's nothing to stop us. Where do we want to start? Chelsea? Did you watch
Eden Hazard's hat trick?
What's that?
Eden Hazard's hat trick.
Oh boy, he's good, man.
He's really good. I'm so glad he didn't go to Real Madrid this season. I thought for sure it was going to happen.
Yeah, I hate seeing him on your team, to be honest with you. It's
I don't blame you.
It's tough. As an Arsenal fan, I have to wait till Thursday to watch European soccer, which is the like the NIT.
Don't even bring Europa League up, because I'm disappointed that Chelsea and Arsenal are in that. It's just sad.
You know what? It's a chance to watch young guys play. It's like when you make the NIT, man. You know, maybe if your team's building something for the future, it's a chance to feel good about things. You know. That's the way I look at it.
I like you seeing the silver lining, Nate. I like that, Nate.
I'm all sunshine and roses, buddy. Look, the Jayhawks have won two football games in a row. Like, I can't be anything but I can't be anything but positive right now. How do you feel about your Wildcats?
No, I mean, it's weird.
How do you feel about your Wildcats after, you know, them taking care of business, basically, against UTSA last weekend?
So I'm really excited. You know me, I during K-State football game, you follow me on Twitter, I rant a lot, especially during those games and especially after I've had a couple bourbons. And this is finally the game where I was watching it, and I'm like, yes, Andre, yes, Colin, those are the formations I want to see. I want to see single back sets, four wides, two back sets, three wides, no tight ends in the box. You know, you get a nice, clean 5-6 man box. And you got options. You know, I really feel like this is the offense that Skylar Thompson was designed to play in. And I feel like they've tailored their style to Skylar Thompson. And it worked well. I thought K-State ran the ball well, and I thought they passed it well. And like I said, just utilized it and tailored it like a nice custom-fitted Armani suit to Skylar Thompson.
Okay, so I've been listening to some K-State talk about this. Do you think, because you're talking about the offensive coordinators now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think this is them as young assistant coaches learning kind of on the job and tweaking what they can do with this team? Or is this the same old Bill Snyder's not going to show everything until you start to get into October and he's slowly releasing some of the stuff that's going to make this a good K-State offense down the road?
I think it's a little mixture of both. I think you're going to want to hold back someone playing UTSA that you're not going to give them the full playbook. You know, you're going to want to hide some things for conference play because that's what's important at this moment. But at the same time, I thought we got a cool little sneak preview of what the offense is going to become. I don't think you can just hold everything back until conference play because you might lose some games. And I think that what we're seeing is 90% of the iceberg. And I think there's still 10% of some minor nuances that'll get sprinkled in there this weekend at Morgantown.
Do you think we're going to see a situation with Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton on the field at the same time, Delton playing a different position in quarterback?
You know, I could see that as a variance where I could see them lining up Delton in the slot and doing a double pass, possibly. I could see, you know, Delton in the backfield if you wanted to do a I don't know, like a wildcat, like or like the Philly special where you motion Skylar out to create a distraction and Delton just runs right off the left or right off the right. So I could see that, but not to great effect. It's not going to be like back in the day with when the wildcat was first introduced where it's going to be, you know, 9-10 snaps a game.
All right, K-State is a 16-point underdog going to West Virginia. We've seen K-State as underdogs in Big 12 play in the past with Bill Snyder go make it a much closer game than the experts think. What do you think of this matchup against West Virginia?
I like the way K-State is what they put on the field on Saturday. I think they're going to be able to build on that versus West Virginia. And I think West Virginia is, you know, very high-powered I think they've got a lot of great weapons, and I liked how Trey Deshaun, defensive lineman, I like how he's kind of finding his speed on the interior. I like how he's finding his aggression, and I like how he's able to get to the quarterback. And I think he's going to be a difference maker this game. He's going to be one of those unsung heroes you don't see on the stat line, but he'll be opening up the offensive line for the linebackers to have clean looks and for the defensive ends to get sacks.
West Virginia was going to play in a game that I really wanted to watch at North Carolina State last weekend. I'm a big Dave Dorn fan at North Carolina State. And that game got canceled because of the hurricane. Do you think – I think that's an advantage in a weird way for K-State, because West Virginia, it's not like they got an extra week to prepare for the Wildcats. They were preparing for North Carolina State, and then they had to sit around all weekend and watch everybody else play. How do you think that's going to affect this game?
Well, I think that Bennett did a good job probably of resting them and preparing them for K-State as soon as it was canceled. And that I think it's just something that it could go either way, but I'm leaning towards it could hurt them just because you could be a bit rusty just because you had that week off. So you look for K-State to make a fast start and to get things right. But I think after about a quarter or two, I think West Virginia will be back into the swing of things. And I think that they're going to be able to perform after that.
All right, Will Grier, the quarterback for West Virginia, in the first game of the season they played at Tennessee, he was 25 for 34, 429 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, these are Patrick Mahomes-type numbers that he put up at Tennessee. and then he did basically the same thing against Youngstown State, which we maybe don't put as much into. How good is this kid, in your opinion? Should he be one of the front runners for the Heisman Trophy?
He should be, and I think that, and he's getting some talk. It's unfortunate that the big, old, traditional schools get all the love and get all the attention. You know, it's just one of those things that you're going to have to deal with until you start cranking out national championships. But I think if his play continues and if he can survive the gauntlet of that is the Big 12, that I think he should be a serious Heisman contender. I mean, you know, we've been talking about him for a couple of years now, so it's just it's one of those things where it's bound to happen if his play continues.
Yeah, we're visiting with Nick Leckie. So give me your prediction. What do you think is going to happen in this K-State-West Virginia game?
Man, I think, you know, it's going to be like Chiefs. It's going to be Chiefs versus the Steelers. I think we're going to have a shootout on our hands. I really do. I think with just the way that K-State played versus UTSA, how they got humbled by Mississippi State, I think this is going to be a hungry team. I always love my K-State teams when they're underdogs because it means that no one's counting on you to win. And I think that takes a lot of pressure off you because you don't have to play with the spotlight. You don't have all the attention. You don't have all the reporters saying, you know, big game, you know, and you guys are the favorites. You know, it's kind of like K-State plays so good with a chip on their shoulder.
So can they win? A lot of times it seems like Bill Snyder, he can go score with teams, but he'll try to maybe, you know, slow the pace down a little bit when he's facing against a great offensive team. Can they win a shootout in Morgantown?
Yes, they can. I think with K-State's special teams being such a difference maker, I think that they can win that shootout because, you know, if you get a few extra points based off your special teams, you know, you're playing with house money at that point. And I feel that what they put on the field for these first couple of games, I think they're going to really expand on that. And I think that West Virginia will have their up-tempo offense. You know, they'll be able to go up and down the field. But I think K-State, if they can put together some vintage 9, 10, 11-play drives and just wear that defense out, I think in the fourth quarter they'll be ready when it comes time to put up more points and to really lean on that defense and tip them over.
What do you think of Patrick Mahomes?
Jeez. Wow. Pretty incredible. I don't want to get on the hype train yet.
Oh, come on,
but,
just do it.
Just no, I can't. I can't because it's one of those things where, like, you know, like the seasons when the Buffalo Bills started out 8-0 or you know, the seasons where all these teams started out 8-0 and then they just crapped the bed. So, yeah, I think he's got the potential. I was watching the game on Sunday and I saw that stat where, you know, his dad played 11 years in the bigs. And his godfather played 21 seasons or 18 seasons. So I think he's got the framework and the mental capacity to handle the fame and the pressure because those guys will be coaching him up. And I think it could be one of those Howie Long situations where both his sons are you know, Pro Bowl caliber players. You know, his son Chris and Jake is a right guard at Chicago. So I think if you have that sort of pro background, I think you're going to be able to handle the pressure of being, you know, the quarterback in a football hungry talent. And I think Mahomes will have success, but I don't want to put too much pressure on him yet.
Man, you can't stop it, Nick. There's going to be a pressure. Everybody in this town has wanted a quarterback forever. It's just that he can handle it.
And a drafted quarterback, right? A draft. They want, yes. You want to get rid of the Todd Blackledge, right? The Todd Blackledge stigma as well.
I mean,
I get it. I get it.
He looks so good.
He does, though. And I think the play calling, too, I think Bieniemy is doing such a good job. I mean, it's one thing to you know, put weapons around someone in the offseason, but then for it to come to fruition is fantastic. I was watching the play where they did the jet sweep to Sammy Watkins. And, man, he runs like a man. He runs like a damn running back. And I love seeing that. You know, it's one thing that speed, but to put it on the field speed and to run with confidence, that's so damn cool. And you got to know with Tyreek Hill, one time I was watching, they did a replay and they showed the sideline and the sideline shot, like the sideline cam that you watch in the All-22 film, and Tyreek Hill outran the damn camera. That's unreal.
Yeah, I mean,
that's unreal. Like, that's the stuff to me. It's like, holy cow.
Well, and they do have so many weapons, and some people have said, well, that's going to be hard. You know, there's only one football to spread around. But when he threw the 6 touchdown passes last weekend, I think it was to 5 different receivers.
Yeah, because Kelsey had 2.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it was.
So Kelsey had 2. Hill, Conley, Hunt, Robinson all caught touchdown passes.
And it's unreal. And the cool thing about that, too, is then I think you got Hunt. Where what he had about 18 carries, I saw. I mean, you're keeping the mileage off him too. So, you know, he really hasn't even been asked to perform. I mean, he's asked to do his part and to get yards, but the touches, I mean, to limit touches for your running back, that's huge, because this is a long season, and at some point you're going to have to rely on him where Mahomes is not able to perform at his fullest. So they're setting themselves up right. I just feel like you have to be like, okay, you have to treat the season like 4 quarters. You know, first 4 games, second, third, fourth, 4 games. I mean, it's all different, and it's all going to change. So I'm holding out hope that he's going to be performing through November and December when it comes crunch time.
How worried are you about the defense?
Only slightly worried. I think it's – I think if you go back and watch the footage, the film, I think that there was like a major turning point when I think it was Skandrick got called for the holding and they got that defensive fumble touchdown called back. And I think that was kind of a game changer. I think that that Big Ben is just one of those players who never gives up. And if you're a quarterback fan, you love watching Big Ben because he'll sit in that pocket and his presence is up there with, you know, Aaron Rodgers, where he just takes a couple steps here and there inside the pocket and he's able to elude a rush or elude a sack. And I think that buys time. And in a long enough period of time, secondaries are going to get beat. It's the same thing with offensive linemen. And so I'm definitely concerned about the defense for allowing that many points. But at the same time, it is a bit tough when you have such a lead that it's tough to stay mentally focused, mentally involved. You know, there's going to be a lapse. But it's definitely a wake-up call, that's for damn sure.
How good do you think Jimmy Garoppolo is?
I think he's pretty solid. You know, I think he took a franchise that had nowhere to go but up. And I think he you know, he's taken his cues, learned from the majestic hair of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I think he's putting those skills to use. And I think Tom Brady, you know, gets overlooked because, you know, his game is all in the pocket. You know, he's got no athletic skills, so it's cerebral. And I think as a quarterback, you have to have that. That's 90% of the game. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo is good, and I think that he can do this thing, and he can surprise you if you're not ready. But in the end, I mean, coming to Arrowhead, I'll be there for the first time ever tailgating.
Oh, so no.
It's going to be special.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
What's Tell
first
me about
ever,
this.
First time ever.
You've never tailgated at Arrowhead
mine.
Before.
I've never tailgated at Arrowhead. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
A buddy of mine, Matt Giller, he asked me to we're going to go hang out with some K-Staters on Sunday. So I'm gonna go up there, tailgate my face off, and then go home. And watch the game at home. That's what I'm going to do. That's my plan.
Oh, really? So you're not going to stay for the game?
No, Nate, I need to watch the game. I can't be around people armchair quarterbacking, telling me, you know, what's good, what's not good, and throwing out RPO all day. I will punch myself in the face before that happens.
Is that your favorite new catchphrase in the NFL? Oh, RPO,
man.
Oh my God, I
hate it. It's seeped into every broadcast I hear. Yeah. You should play, don't play, but you should play a drinking game with watered down bourbon because you're going to get hammered.
Yeah.
Every time you hear the term RPO, and it's like, come on, let's get a new catchphrase. Let's bring back blitz and screen, and let's start saying that stuff.
Hey, RPO, man, you know, Mahomes got to throw it there. You don't want to hear a bunch of that?
No, I don't.
All right.
So it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I'm sure it's like when people tell you how to do your job or when they talk about things, and it's frustrating. It is. Because it's regurgitation. That's what it is.
I love it. I love to hear, like, the critiques that people have. Like, oh, man, you gotta throw the damn ball. Like, if a quarterback takes a sack, they always just want to throw the damn ball, you know? I love that.
Yeah.
I love
stuff. Yeah, the best is when, like, a defense brings six and there's 5-0 linemen, and they're like, man, offensive line's got to pick that guy up. But I'm like, no, the quarterback needs to throw hot off that guy. You know, that's the real thing.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
So it'll be. There is a lot of stuff going on, and I get it, and I totally get it. But, yeah, no, I can't watch it at the stadium.
So what are you guys, like, what's the tailgate fare going to be? Do you know what you guys are cooking?
No, I don't. That's the beauty of it. I know, though, for sure. I've got a new tailgate drink, and it's rum.
Okay. Just rum?
It's Kirk and Sweeney 18. It's like they say it's a bourbon drinker's rum, and it is fantastic. And you can drink it on the rocks. You can drink it neat when it's 105 degrees. It is just – it's a very versatile drink, Nate. And it's for tailgating. I highly recommend you try it.
Okay. I've never been a big rum guy, but – I'm not saying I won't.
Trust me, if you like bourbon, you'll like this kind of rum.
Okay.
It's an aged rum.
Okay.
It's an aged rum, and it is smooth as all get out.
Okay.
And it's not overly sweet.
Yeah.
I would give you the tasting profile, but I don't want to sound like a douchebag.
Well, too late. Too late.
That shit has failed.
Yeah,
you are there.
You started the segment talking European Champions League soccer. So, you know, it's all downhill.
And I said football, too. I said European football.
Yeah,
too.
You did.
Just
double down on
high snobbery.
All right, you got to help me with
something. Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's right. What it is. It's football. And we're going to watch American Hand Egg tomorrow or Sunday.
Hand Egg and football.
Yeah, Hand Egg.
We got football today and tomorrow, and Hand Egg on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be good. I like it.
That's right.
Speaking of the Hand Egg, you got to help me with this, man. I don't know how to process what's happening with my Jayhawks right now. Because it's if they had just gone out and won against Central Michigan and Rutgers, I'd be really excited. But I'd be sitting there going, well, okay, they sneaked out a couple of victories against those teams. They beat Rutgers 55-14. They put up 544 yards of offense. They ran for 400 yards. Now, I don't care how bad Rutgers might be. Like, Kansas hasn't been blowing teams out. Like, any teams. Like, they haven't been blowing out FBS schools or FCS schools, whatever they're called. Does that – in the past, I've always said, man, when Kansas – back in the day when Kansas was good, they would blow the, you know, mid-major teams out. And now all of a sudden they're doing – should I allow myself to say that means something, or do I still need to just put it in neutral and wait and see what happens when they get in the Big 12? How am I supposed to handle this?
No, I'm going to say the opposite. So as much as I'm trying to manage Mahomes' expectations, I think the Jayhawks are for real. For whatever reason, KU always gets really good recruits. And I'm like, how can you recruit to a basketball school and when your football team is not winning a lot of games? And they still manage to get these awesome recruits. And I'm like, K-State, what is up? Like, get some good recruits. I'm not saying get some good recruits, but – I mean, it's just always fascinating to me. And I think the biggest reason is Puka. He runs like a scalded dog, as the O-line coach Steve Loney used to say. And he does. And he hits that hole, and it's infectious, Nate. It's truly infectious to see. When you see a running back run downhill, run with some confidence, run with power, you're going to run through arm tackles, and you're going to be getting 5, 6, 7 yards a pop every time. And that's the kind of stuff that you can base your offense off of, and you can get everyone else excited. And that's cool to see. And I think that's the spark that KU needed after all these years of sticking with David Beatty and everybody wanting to say, he's trash, he's terrible. He's what KU needs right now. And they also need Puka because he's amazing.
I mean, it's honestly, if they had him in week one, there's no doubt in my mind they win that game that they lost in overtime, right?
Easily. They could be 3-0 right now.
And then you're, and like you're, and look, they're 7.5-point underdogs going to Baylor, so we'll see what happens. But if you're 3-0 going
I think
into that,
beat Baylor.
What's that?
I think they're going to beat Baylor.
You do.
I would put money on that. Do you have a bookie?
I don't, and Jake isn't here. I'm not a sports gambler myself. If Jake was here, he'd be able to set you up. But. I mean, if they go win this game in Baylor, that does start to change the conversation, right? All of a sudden, you're looking at it and going, they could win 2-3 conference games.
Right? 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where they're such a scary team where I honestly feel, I thought KU should have beat K-State last year, but the receivers dropped 5-8 balls that are easy balls that were like, what did you guys say last week, that were targets that were like within the framework of the body.
Yeah,
that like in hands dropped, and so I think KU is always dangerous, and no matter who you play, those guys on the other side are on scholarship too, you know. So it's like everyone say, oh, they're just a terrible team, and they're not that terrible a team. They're actually kind of good, and they're finding their stride, and they're hungry, and that's what you want. You don't want a bunch of fat cats who, you know, are undisciplined and think that, you know, they've arrived. You know, you don't want to be like Texas. I think they've arrived thinking they just roll their helmet on the field and win. Because you can't. You need hunger. You need drive. You need grit. You need, as Edwin James almost says in that movie where he taught calculus, is you need the ganas, right? You need that desire.
Yeah.
And that's what KU has. And that's cool to see. Well, I was not happy that they lost to Nicholls State.
They actually have a little bit of confidence, too, which they haven't had forever, right?
And it's a perfect road game. They're playing at Baylor. They're playing in Waco this Saturday.
Yep, yep.
It's a perfect road game because Baylor is trash this year. They're not that good.
They lost to Duke last weekend.
Duke is decent.
Yeah, I'm trying to rein myself in a little bit here, and I'm just going to see what happens. Just to watch this game on Saturday.
Don't you enjoy KU fans as much as I hate to say this? You guys need to start focusing on football season when it's not basketball season.
It's look.
That's what you guys need to do. And every time I drive to Topeka and I see the damn basketball sign with all the national championship and Big 12 championship rings, it makes me mad because I'm like, it's football season, kids. Come on, Lawrence, get it together.
It's egg hand season.
It's egg. Thank you, Nate, for that correction. Egg. Egg toss, throw ball,
hand egg season.
Yeah. Throw egg.
I did not think that a running back.
Nobody likes kickers, anyways.
That's right. I didn't think that a running back can make that big of a difference, I guess is what I'm saying, you know?
It's like the opposite of straw that broke the camel's back, right? It's just that one little spark that you need just to shine a bright light on, and then everyone on the team says, oh, okay, he can ball? Okay, cool, that means I'm going to ball. And then it's just dry kindling. You know, everything just lights up based off of that. I'm telling you, it's infectious.
All right, we'll see. All right, Nick Lucky says Jayhawks are going to beat Baylor. We'll see it. You give me your prediction on the Kansas City Chiefs as well. What are they going to do on Sunday?
Man, I think they're going to put it to the Niners. I really do. I really do. I think that instead of Mahomes having a big game, I think Hunt's going to have a big game. I think he's going to rush for a lot of yards. I like the way this offensive line is blocking. I like how they're gelling. And I like just the simple play calling. I don't use the term bounce because I think that's a stupid term, but I think the mix-up of run plays, the mix-up of pass plays, and just the various ways to attack the defense, I think it's looking cool. It's looking really good. And just to know that you have Mahomes back there with a laser cannon? How are we going to describe his arm? Is it a rocket laser cannon? Is that what it is?
It's all of them put together.
Cyborg?
Yeah.
It's all. He's like the T1. He's like the T1000.
Because he can take something off of it. He can put something on it. You know, he can make every throw.
Yeah,
So he's got all
a nice touch and you know, back leg throws and pocket presence. So yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to crush him.
I love
just crush him. I'm talking like 49 to like 28, because you know they'll get some garbage TDs in the fourth quarter.
49-28, Nick Lecky. You know how to talk to a guy. I'll tell you that much.
I do.
You know how to get me going. And I like the fact it's going to be, because the first week it was Tyreek Hill. Last week it was Travis Kelce. Now it's going to be Kareem Hunt. They're just going to, each game's going to be a different guy. And all the other guys are still going to have good days. Last thing for me, will Sporting Kansas City finish in first place in the West? And how far will they go in the MLS playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're going to go great. I mean, it's Sporting KC. I think our fan base here is wonderful. I think that, you know, they've really supported Sporting KC, and that I think that they're going to do it. And what, do they have a, where's the next game? They're playing, what, Philly?
At Philly on Sunday.
Whew, that'll be a good one. That'll be a really good one. Yeah, I think they're going to finish top of the West.
There you
I
go.
Really do.
And we've just decided, Drake has informed me that the, since we're not talking RPOs, we got a different RPO that you're going to be executing at the game on Sunday, which is the rum pass option.
I like that. I like that a lot. The rum punch option, too.
There you go. That's the name of your drink now. It's the RPO. You're drinking an RPO on Sunday at the game.
Oh, man. The irony is rich to take something I despise and turn it to something I love. Nice twist. You know how to talk to a man. Yeah. You really do.
You just topsy-turvied that, dude. Like Leon Black, you just topsy-turvied that MF-er. All right.
Man, I just flipped you for real.
Wow. All right, Nick. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Have fun at the tailgate.
Thanks, Nate. Have a good one.
All right. That is Nick Lecky. He can talk everything. He can talk drinks. He can talk food. He can talk football. He can talk hand egg. He can talk everything else. And we're going to take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.